The world's biggest project dedicated to carbon capture and storage is the Gorgon Gas Plant in Western Australia. It's owned and operated by Chevron, with Shell and ExxonMobil also owning about a quarter. The federal government regards carbon capture and storage as an important greenhouse gas mitigation option, but the Climate Change Council dismisses it as unproven and expensive, saying no CCS project has yet been delivered on time, on budget, or to agreed performance. Well, when the Gorgon gas plant got the go-ahead, the environmental approval set a target for the first 5 years of capturing and storing 80% of CO2 emissions. And that five-year deadline ended on the 18th of July, 2021. So, how close did the Gorgon gas plant get to that 80% target? Peter Milne is a former oil and gas engineer. He's an industry analyst, and he founded the website Boiling Coal that covers energy and climate issues in Western Australia. And he's been following this story closely. So, Peter, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Yeah, hi there, Joey.
The five-year deadline was last week. How close did the Gorgon Gas Project get to that 80% target of capture and storage of 80% of CO2 emissions?
Well, the short answer is not very close at all. My estimate is that they only injected about 30% of the CO2 they should have done. We'll find out in about a month's time the exact numbers when they report it to the state's environment minister. But it's a very big shortfall, no doubt about that.
And in terms of the impact of how much carbon dioxide's actually been put out into the atmosphere without abatement, what does that mean in terms of the project, the Gorgon Gas Project so far?
Well, to date, as far as the shareholders are concerned, there's no effect whatsoever. There's too much CO2 that's gone up into the atmosphere, but there's to date been no penalty. Now, it might well be that the Environment Minister here in WA, Amber Jade Sanderson, might impose a penalty, which we'll find out later. But in Australia, there is no penalty for large amounts of CO2 emission.
And is there any requirement on Chevron or the Gorgon gas plant owners to offset the carbon some other way?
Yeah, when the project was approved by the state government here in 2006, there was a variety of quite strict environmental conditions because it's being built on a nature reserve. And one of those was that 80% of the carbon dioxide that's flowing from the offshore reservoirs to Barrow Island has to be injected underneath the island and measured over the first 5 years. And that's what they failed to do. What is unclear is the repercussions of that, because the agreement's quite loosely worded. But look, there's a strong expectation that the Gorgon partners are going to be required to offset those emissions, which is basically pay someone to plant trees or do something similar. And an Australian carbon credit unit right now costs about $20 to offset a tonne of CO2. So I estimate they could be up for a bill of about $100 million.
As you said, the environmental approval, well, it's got a bit of wiggle room when you read through the fine detail. And in particular, that 80% target is to use all practicable means to achieve that 80% of carbon capture and storage. Is this just a case of the technology not proving, as I suppose new technology often does, as practicable as backers hoped? What is the reason that there hasn't been as much capture and storage as the environmental approval projected?
Well, it's a litany of one muck-up after another, Julian. So the construction started in 2009, and after many delays and about a $20 billion cost blowout, it finally produced LNG in 2016. But Chevron weren't ready to start injecting CO2 for 3 years after that in 2019. So the first thing is they were way late. And certainly there's a lot of people who think that they had a very strong focus on elements of the project that produce revenue and a somewhat weaker focus on the CO2 injection. When they did when they were about to start it up, they realised they had fundamental flaws in their equipment. And the CO2 could have mixed with water to form carbonic acid and start corroding the equipment. So then they had to call a halt to things. And that was a delay of a year or so. And then they finally started up in August 2019. Okay, but when they did start up, the whole system wasn't working. So I should probably take you through what CCS is in Gorgon's case, because it's a little bit complex. It's not as simple as just pumping some gas under the ground. Okay. So the first thing to note is that this 80% requirement does not apply to all the CO2 that comes from Gorgon. They burn about 8 or 9% of their gas to drive the plant, which is basically a huge refrigerator that turns the gas into a liquid so it can be shipped to Asia. That CO2 is vent into the atmosphere and there's no requirement to inject it. This is just a CO2 that comes with the gas that's extracted from the offshore fields. So all LNG plants have to extract this CO2 anyway, because otherwise it goes into the big fridge of the LNG plant, freezes to a solid and damages the equipment. All right, so carbon capture and storage has got two parts, capture and storage. So all LNG plants do this capture. All that Gorgon had to do extra was the storage. And so far they've spent over $3 billion on this. Basically, they get the CO2, they compress it to a state called supercooled, where it's dense like a liquid but flows freely like a gas. They pump it about 7 kilometres away somewhere else in the island, where there's wells that inject it into a formation 2 kilometres under the island where it's to be stored. Unfortunately, that's not the end of it, because this formation, you and I, non-geologists, can think of it as a 400-metre layer of compressed sand with tiny little gaps between the sand particles. And right now, there's water in those gaps. So they're pumping the CO2 in, but of course, the water has to go somewhere. So a few kilometres away, water has to be pumped to the surface and then injected down other wells and stored. So it's quite an involved process.
Sure, yeah.
And another hiccup that Chevron had was when they started pumping the water to the surface, the water was full of sand. And when they tried to inject it in the formation, the well blocked up. It was all clogged with sand. These water wells, just for the first several years, just did not work whilst the CO2 was being injected. And finally, in 2020, the state regulator here had finally said enough and said, no, you've got to get these water wells, they call it the pressure management system, you've got to get it working. Otherwise, pumping all the CO2 underground could cause so much overpressure that you fracture the reservoir and you may not be able to inject CO2 as well. So, I mean, nothing's going right on this thing. From December, it's only been running at one-third capacity until they get the water wells fixed. So at no point in time have all components of the system ever worked at the same time.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Peter Mill, an independent journalist and founder of the publication Boiling Cold. Peter, you referred to, obviously, the elaborate difficulty of the technique of storage in particular, and you also mentioned flaws with equipment. Are the problems that the Gorgon gas plant has encountered implementation problems of the particular team at Gorgon, or do they reflect bigger issues that raise questions about the viability of carbon capture and storage more broadly?
I think both is the answer to that. Unfortunately, Chevron, my old employer, did a terrible job building Gorgon. It was about $20 billion over budget several years late. So they don't have a great track record at delivering things on time. But there's more to it than that. And clearly, even though they started studying this in 1998, believe it or not. So in one way or another, for over 30 years, this problem's been looked at and it's still proven to be difficult, which is quite extraordinary. And I think that point, why I try to explain about all moving the water around and everything, is that this CO2 storage business, it's difficult and it has to be understood. But when you say, well, does it really imply problems for other projects? Well, I think the thing with CO2 storage is it's going to be different every time because the geology is different every time. So every time they do it, there's got to be unique challenges. And I mean, to give Chevron their credit, they say they've buried almost 5 million tonnes so far. And that's 5 million tonnes of CO2 that otherwise would have been in the atmosphere. So to that extent, full credit to them. The bigger picture is that this is expensive, it's slow, and it's difficult. And yet this is the technology which so many forecasts of how we can get to net zero emissions by 2050 assume a massive global rollout of carbon capture and storage. And the experience of three of the most technically sophisticated oil and gas companies in the world trying to do it at Gorgon, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence that this can be done.
Peter, last month the Australian federal government gave out $50 million from the Carbon Capture Use and Storage Development Fund to six other projects, including $15 million and $5 million to projects developed by Santos and Glencore. Does the troubles that have been encountered in Gorgon, do you think they argue in favour of more sort of investment in developing this technology, or is this really a case of backing horses that look like they're never going to be winners?
Well, I think we all hope as taxpayers that $50 million is more productive than the $60 million that Chevron got for Gorgon, and they've received all of it before this thing started working. I think any way you look at it, if you want to get to net zero emissions to frankly avoid catastrophic global warming, is that CCS will be part of the solution. Because there's going to be niche applications. It might be some petrochemical process to produce a plastic we need. It might be cement production, where the technology is not there to stop CO2 being emitted. So it's wrong to say that we don't need CCS. But CCS is a vital and important but niche component of the overall solution. It's simply going to be too expensive and too difficult to roll out to be a big part of the solution.
So in summary, Peter Mill, do you agree with that assessment from the Climate Change Council that CCS currently is unproven and expensive and that nowhere has it been delivered on time, on budget, or to agreed performance?
Well, to my knowledge, they're right. And I think the big picture here is a question mark over to CCS technology. Then you look at the forecast with massive amounts of CCS and say, well, if that's not doable, how are we going to control climate change and keep it partially in check? The only alternative to this massive amount of CCS is that we cut fossil fuel use much quicker and much harder.
And you said, Peter, that Gorgon's going to release its official figures in coming weeks. Is that correct?
Yes, well, they're going to give them to our Environment Minister here in WA in August. Whether they're made public then or not, we'll find out.
Certainly one to keep watching, and thanks for keeping your well-informed eyes on it for us here at Sunday Extra. Peter Milne, thanks for joining us.
Okay, cheers.
Peter Milne is a former oil and gas engineer, and he now runs the Boiling Cold website, which covers energy issues in WA at boilingcold.com.au.